Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for There Is Life After Layoff radio show. Have you allowed negative life circumstances to define your life? Are you stuck and don't know how to move forward? Do you aspire to live an intentional life full of purpose? Well, guess what? If you answered yes, then stay tuned because my guest will share with you her powerful testimony and how she took back control of her life and is now living intentionally. I'm Allie, the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path and my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember that I'm not here to point fingers at or to place the blame on my former employers or colleagues, but what I am here to do is to face my own truths as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. And along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. The goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. Thank you once again for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. I have one quick announcement, and then we'll be ready to get started with this evening's show. Tonight's episode is actually pre-recorded, which means that we will be unable to take your live calls this evening. However, do not despair because there are still ways that you can ask your questions or post comments about this particular show. One of those ways is to visit the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com, and you can post a comment there, or you can reach me directly through email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. So if you have a question or want to make a comment, we want to hear from you. We say thank you in advance for your insight. So now let's get started. And you know what? I'm excited about my guest tonight for many reasons. And I feel as though we are connected spiritually. And you have heard me say many, many times on this show that I am a firm believer that God directs and allows people to come into and out of our lives for a reason. And so guess what? This time he actually used social media because it was because I was intrigued by my guest's Facebook page that led me to want to reach out to her. And because I did that, we ended up having a great connection. And so guess what? Here we are. So with that said, it is my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff, Taisha Peake. She's an author, she's a speaker, and a motivator. Welcome, Taisha, and thank you for joining me this evening.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Moore. I'm very, very excited and just honored to be here, so thank you so much.
It is absolutely my pleasure. And, of course, call me Allie. That's my on-air name, so you can call me Allie, okay?
Allie. Okay.
Before we get started in the heart of the conversation, Taisha, why don't you take a moment to please share with our listeners a little bit about yourself. Help us get to know who you are.
Okay, no problem. Well, my name's Taisha Peake. I am a mother of two wonderful rambunctious boys. I actually reside in Gwinnett County, and just excited and happy that I can now see what God already saw in me. So I'm just excited to share and to be able to help other people.
Wow.
See the same thing in themselves. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you and I have something in common, you know, being the mom of two, and we know what that brings into
right.
our lives, right? We were just talking about that before the show.
Excitement and irritation and everything, but it's all love at the end.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know what, given the name of the show, I always want to engage and connect my guests to my journey, which began after I was unexpectedly laid off of my corporate job. So with that said, I always want to ask my guests, have you or anyone you know ever been affected or impacted by the negative impact of a layoff, whether it was forced or self-imposed? And if so, can you please explain those circumstances?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I worked for a call center for about 5 years, and I wasn't happy there, but I stayed there because I knew what the income would be. I knew it was safe, so I kind of stayed in that nutshell. But as I saw that they weren't offering any advancement, and they were actually allowing people that didn't have any experience or had been there maybe 1 year were allowing them to get positions that people that were more seasoned should be allowed to get. So I got irritated and I got discouraged, and I said, okay. I said, I've been here 5 years, longest that I've been at a job, you know, at my age. And I said, you know, I'm just not going to sit here and settle. I'm moving out of Walton County. Mm-hmm. I'm moving to the city, and I'm going to Gwinnett. So I took a job as a inside sales rep for a real estate company, and he was paying me probably $500 less than what I had made previously. But the opportunities were presented, quotation,
right.
as they were presented as though this was a great opportunity and I could probably make $50K plus a year and all this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, so I'm taking a job. I'm moving to Gwinnett County. Rent is $500 more than what it was in Walton.
Oh, goodness.
I'm about to make things happen up in this real estate company.
Right.
Wrong. And so he presented these great things, and he ended up actually taking advantage of me. He would sell homes and purchase homes that I had provided to him but would not give me a bonus for them.
What?
And then he may would give me a bonus or give me some perks before then. And then I had stepped out of work for a while. I had gotten into a depression because I was only making $1,500 a month. Mind you, my rent is almost $1,500.
Wow.
So sales had went down, and then he was like, well, you know what, Taisha, you know, the best thing you can do, you know, your children are most important, which, of course, I know that because I would have quit your job as well.
Right.
So he did that, and then he said, well, you know, you can always come back and just get yourself situated. And I said, wow, I'm in the midst of struggle. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough funds. You know, real estate slows down in the winter anyway.
Right.
But you would fire me opposed to doing anything else. So he sold at least 10 of the homes that I had presented to him, and never not once did I receive a bonus. But
oh, my goodness.
Hey, it is what it is.
Wow. So that kind of left you out in the cold. So you were trying to say that was a forced, definitely forced layoff. Wow.
Definitely.
So what happened? I mean, you know, after that, was that it just, you know, you were unemployed, or what was the outcome?
I was actually unemployed for a week because I do not play that. I cried. I walked away. I took a box and I took my belongings. And I'm a person that I felt as though, I never want to fail. Everything has to go great. And I felt like I failed. And then I felt like I failed my kids. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't have a job. Like, what am I going to do?
Right.
So I actually worked at a daycare for one day. Mm-hmm. And I uphold anybody that works at a child care center because I couldn't do it for one day. I love it, but they ran me wild. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, well, God, I said, just please lead me to a better opportunity and something that you know that I have talents in.
Mm-hmm.
And then that next Tuesday, which was my dad's birthday, mm-hmm. I had gotten January 26th of this year, I got an inside sales position,
mm-hmm.
and I was making double what I made at the insurance place. And then, of course, things just took off from there.
Wow. That's interesting. You know, and as I mentioned, you know, there is life. I consider There Is Life After Layoff as being a journey for me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was my journey of purpose is when I say that my purpose started. You know, the plan, I finally recognized the plan that God had for my life. And, you know, when you and I first connected, you kind of shared with me a little bit about how some of the challenges that you had to overcome and the negative life circumstances that you've had throughout your life as you were growing up. Can you share with us a little bit about that and that journey?
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm originally from Hartford, Connecticut. And my mom and dad had broken up. So my mother, she didn't want to live in Connecticut anymore. And I had a godmother that stayed here in Atlanta, Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Okay.
And she offered for us to come and live with her for a while. So we came down. Of course, that was something uncomfortable for me because all I knew was Connecticut. That's where all my family is.
Right.
So but my mother is my backbone and my love. So wherever she was going, I was going. So we came here. And everything was kind of all right. I came here when I was 10 years old, going on 11. And we were fine until we moved out on our own. So my mom got an apartment. We moved out, and my mom was working a temp job. And we know the word temporary is
that.
high. So we know that's just what it is. So we had gotten there maybe 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and she lost her job.
Oh, goodness.
And then she lost her job, so we ended up having to stay at a hotel in Stone Mountain Inn, to be exact. Like I remember it, off of Memorial Drive.
Wow.
And we stayed there for a while, so she got another job. It was a permanent job. So that went off and on with permanent and temps. And then when I hit 13 in the ninth grade, she already knew what was going to happen, but my mom is a positive person. So regardless, I would never know what was going on because, of course, I was a child. So
right.
She didn't force me to have that input or have that worry. She would just come out of the blue with stuff. So I'm in school, and I think we just left a pep rally. I went to Redan High School. Redan. Okay.
Shout out to Redan.
Went to Redan. And she came, and I was like, Mom, what's wrong? She just came up to the school. She never comes to the school. So she came to the school, mm-hmm. and she was like, Ty, I'm sorry. We got evicted. I couldn't get the money, and you're going to have to go stay with your friend. And she had already made the arrangements prior to, but I didn't know that.
Oh,
so,
wow. Oh, my God.
I said, what do you mean I have to go stay with what? Like, go talk to Miss Yolanda. I already got it together, but we got it. So we go back to the house, Allie, and our food, our chicken wings she made the night before, I mean, they just threw all the stuff out. So my clothes are outside,
oh,
and I'm just like, okay. And I never been apart from my mother. So she had ended up staying in cars and living with some church members that she met, but she didn't know them that well, so she didn't want me to go through that. So I was in ninth grade, and, of course, I didn't care about school. And I'm like, who cares about me getting A's and B's? I don't even know where my mother is. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just stopped. I lost interest in everything. So I failed the ninth grade, which I vowed that I would never do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't care. I didn't. If my mother wasn't with me, everything else didn't matter to me at that point.
Wow.
Mm. So, yeah.
Wow. So nobody at the school had a clue or, you know, that, you know, just, you know, see that your grades were falling and nobody, you know, that's a little, a counselor or somebody would reach out
uh-huh.
and say, you know, what's going on? Is there anything that we can help you with? Is there some circumstances at home? You know, nobody did that?
You know, what actually happened after that, which is unfortunate, I had made it through almost the whole school year, and no, nobody really came to me. They ended up giving me makeup work at the end, so that didn't work because it still only had me to pass one class, and I think that was social studies.
Mm.
And it was just too late because by the time I got the makeup work, it was kind of, that was it. And it actually got to a crunch time whereas it was the end, I had already failed and everything. And someone had called into DFACS, actually, and informed them that my mother no longer had custody and told them that my mother had abandoned me, which she had not. They told her that my mother abandoned me. DFACS came up to the school and told me I had two options. Either I was going into foster care or I was going to live with my dad. And mind you, I hadn't spoken to my dad in 2.5 years when we moved.
Wow.
So it was like, okay. So it was kind of like the next week I was on the Greyhound going back to Connecticut.
Are you kidding? What?
So it was, so, you know, of course, not all the time family is not the best. And sometimes they do things, and that it was a family member that actually called DFACS and had them and report my mother.
Really?
And my mother was not a drug addict. My mother, it was nothing like that going on. She just had struggles, and they tried to make it appear that something was wrong with her, and she left me, and that was not the case at all.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So I can only imagine the emotional impact that those circumstances had on you. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, the emotional impact and the feelings that you were going through during those difficult times.
Yeah, I mean, I was sad a majority of the time. I'm a smiler and a laugher. So those are more genuine laughs and smiles. But then it was kind of just a cover up. So I didn't really care. I went through my stages. I was a tomboy, and I had my baggy shorts on and my big shirts, and I just had no interest in education anymore because when I was in Connecticut, I was on the honor roll, spelling bee. I won the national spelling bee in Connecticut and all those things. But after not having my mother, even living with my dad, and I love him dearly, but it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same, so I just had no interest, and it was just my dad and my grandmother. And my dad had kids outside of my mother, so he had a younger daughter, and it was just no real interest in me as my mother had. Like, my mother, where's your homework at, Ty? That's
right.
Not how you spell it, Ty. What are you doing? Da 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 da. And I didn't
exactly have
that, so it was kind of, and my grandmother, she's older, so she's not paying attention. She just want to make sure you filled up with collard greens and cornbread. That was her intention. So it was just sad. And to have to talk to her on the phone and hear where she was, and she might have been in a shelter one day, or she may have been with the Christian family she had lived with, and come to find out it was a little bit different than she was thinking, and moving trash cans and dumpsters. And I just praise her, because she could have allowed me to completely go through it with her,
mm-hmm.
but she never knew that I would have had preferred to lift up those trash cans and to live in that car with her than to have been separated from her, because the hurt was way worse, because she's all I have, and all that I thought that I had anyway, and all that
right.
I knew. So it was just very, it was just detrimental, and I just didn't care about anything. I let my hair fall out. It was just a mess. I just didn't care. But I did pass the ninth grade that time, but barely. So everything was just half-stepping. Every time I put my foot forward in something, it was just like, I'm not going to do that. I'll just hey, I got a D. I passed, and that was my mindset.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. That kind of reminds me. It's not the same situation at all, but I would kind of relate, and I understand the mindset that your mom had, because I had a similar situation in a way with my mom. My mom at the time was going through lung cancer, and I had just gone through a tough emotional situation, and she came to me and said, you know what, you need to leave, meaning she wanted me to move away out of state from where she was, because I was near her. I had moved back home to be with her and help her doing what she was going through. And because of the situation that I had come out of, she was like, and if you are going to get through this, if you're going to be emotionally healthy again, I want you to move, because I know that if you stay here, you're not going to do that.
Right.
And that was the hardest decision that I had to ever make, because I didn't want to leave my mom in what she was going through at the time. Mm-hmm. But that mother's love, which I see that's what your mom had for you, she loved you more than keeping you, you know, as much as she wanted to keep you with her, she loved you more and did not want you to have to see her struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I kind of right. relate that, you know, to that type of a situation. The power of a mother's love, let's just say that. So what was one of those defining moments that made you, when you made the choice to not keep, you know, to kind of move forward and kind of get out of what you were going through, and, you know, some of the patterns maybe in your family, and when you made the decision that you were going to start caring again and moving forward?
There were kind of these two circumstances balled into one. My dad also passed away from cancer. He had cancer, lung cancer, and then he had an autoimmune disease called scleroderma, and it's a hardening of the arteries, and that won over the cancer. Mm-hmm. So when he passed away, it just made me think, okay, like, life isn't promised. My dad was 48 years old.
Mm.
So,
oh, my goodness.
Know, so it just made me, I felt guilty. I felt really guilty. I didn't have my finances together. It was like I couldn't get to his funeral or so many things like that. So that circumstance combined with maybe earlier this year, I had a nervous breakdown, and I actually went to a mental institution because I had a nervous breakdown. I was shaking, crying, screaming, driving at the same time, and I was just like, I'm about to lose my mind, and I'm talking to God the whole drive, and I'm like, God, please keep me, because I just feel like I'm about to lose my mind. For 2 weeks prior to that, I was just laying in the bed every day. I would eat barely. I would eat, lay down, go to sleep. I don't want to talk to anybody. I was crying every second, and I was like, something is wrong with me. And I really, I knew that I would not take my life because I know God. So I knew I wouldn't do that, but it was the fact that I was looking up different things and like, okay, when mothers suicide and they kill themselves and what happens to the children and how people were affected, and I was reading different stories, and I was like, why am I doing that? I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to go get some help, because me speaking to myself and speaking to other people, because sometimes you have to build your relationship with God, which I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, sometimes you need three influences. You need God. Mm-hmm. Then sometimes it's family. And then sometimes it is medical attention for someone to sit back and allow for you to think about the things that are going on in your head. So it was lack of income and thinking about my dad and thinking about my apartment and My car had got sugar poured into the tank, and I had to go get engine, and everything that could possibly happen was happening. And I just felt like a failure, and I'm looking at my kids, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm repeating the same thing over and over and over again. So I went to go see the psychologist, and she offered some medications, which I never took because I was leery about that. And
right.
I started praying. And I got a Bible that was easier for me to read because King James is a little difficult for me. But
right.
I got the English Standard Version. And
right.
every day I would wake up at 3 o'clock and I just start reading. And I started writing back in my journal because I had stopped doing that. And so whatever feelings that I was having and whatever was going on that day, I just wrote it down. I just wrote it down and wrote it down because sometimes when you speak to people, depending on who you're speaking to, a lot of people pass judgment opposed to
mm-hmm.
giving guidance to help you. They
right.
want to. Then you end up feeling worse than you already do. So then it's like that's why I shut myself into a bubble, and I have never felt like that because I'm always the laughy Taisha. But I actually took time to focus and realize that something is wrong. Something is wrong. We gotta get it out. And I start by forgiving people, the family members that didn't help me to get to my dad's funeral, the family members that called the defects on me, and I just start crying out and reaching out to people and letting go of some of that pain because that was hindering my spirit and my actual real joy and not the joy that I portrayed.
Wow. That, oh, my goodness. You said a mouthful when you said you started forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize the power in forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And the whole thing is that forgiveness is more for us than it is for the other person.
Right.
You know, so what that did was that, you know, you were carrying that as a burden,
mm-hmm.
that unforgiveness inside of you. And it was weighing you down. And it, you know, my sister-in-law is a licensed professional counselor. So, you know, and one of her specialties is depression. It sounded to me like you were in full-blown depression.
Oh, yeah. They were like, because I was having anxiety attacks. I would wake up out of my sleep and just wake up in the middle of the night and sweating and heart racing like I just had the worst dream ever. And I actually stopped remembering my dreams because I usually would have pretty good dreams. You know, you have nightmares every now and then, but then everything was negative. Someone was cheating on me or somebody was hurting my kids or every dream. So I know that was nothing but the devil feeding in onto my already down feelings because I never felt like, I mean, me not eating any cookies, that was not, oh, something is wrong, and just laying in the bed every day. Like, I didn't want to be bothered. I was texting my mother. I wasn't talking to her on the phone because I never felt like that, and it scared me because you're looking up suicide. Why are you looking at suicide? Why are we doing that? And God said, no, ma'am, where are you going? You got things to do, ma'am.
You know what? Praise God for that, and praise God that you had enough in you, God in you, to stop and say, you know, you had the foresight to say there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people miss that voice, they miss that part, and then they, you know, look at what the alternative turns into.
Definitely.
Them, you know, either taking their lives or something worse. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
then that, you know, just keep going and living in the same situation or circumstance. So that was God who was reaching out to you. And he kind of went through that one channel that of your mind that was listening, that was
mm-hmm.
in tune with him to say, hey, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And so thank God that you listened, you know. Wow, that's powerful. So, you know, I kind of mentioned at the top of the show that you and I connected through Facebook because I was drawn to your Facebook page. And the reason why I was drawn to it was because the name on it is Intentionally Living Taisha. And I was thinking to myself, okay, so what does that mean? What is that all about? It was so intriguing to me. And I said, I got to reach out and see what that is all about because it was just something that I felt led to and drawn
mm-hmm.
to. So explain to us what that means for you. How are you living an intentional life?
Yeah, I actually read a book by John Maxwell called Intentionally Living. The guy at the real estate company actually gave me the book.
Mm.
And I opened that book, and I could not put the book down. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
Mm.
Yes. And I thought, you know what? And, like, after I finished the book, I said, I am changing my Facebook name. Because before it was just Taisha P. And I said, because I'm going to intentionally live, meaning that the life that you live, make sure that if you don't know your purpose, then at least try to ask God. Don't try. Ask God to lead you into what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that I read that and I was praying and I said, God, just show me what it is that I'm supposed to do, because I have so many things in my mind and there are so many things that I want to do, but what am I here for? Because I can want to do a lot of things, but what am I here to do? So I said, I'm going to really intentionally live. I'm just not going to exist here and just be Taisha, the inside sales rep, and that's all that I'm going to be. No, I have to provide a life not only – I'm not seeking to be rich. This is what I say this all the time. I'm not seeking to be rich because I'm rich already. My
Amen.
Bank account may not reflect it, but my mindset and my soul does. So regardless of what I have material-wise, if I'm able to reach out and help people that may be feeling suicidal or may be feeling depressed or may feel like, you know what, my mom was homeless, now I'm homeless, I'm just going to – because I was told I was a generational curse. I am not.
The devil is a lie.
And broke that immediately. I said, oh, no. So, you know, of course, when people see that things are changing, people have disappeared, actually, which is interesting. Because when you're down and out, people, they entertain for that. They'll be on the phone with you and saying, you know, girl, it's going to be all right. Everything going to be good. But when things get better, they turn around. And
yeah.
I just think that's odd. And to be honest with you, more people that have come into my life are strangers and have shown me more love than people have known me my whole 28 years of living. And
wow.
I appreciate and I thank God for that. So I will intentionally live here until God says it is my final day. I will make sure that every and everything that I do has a purpose, and I'm just not out here just living.
Exactly, exactly. And you're absolutely right. We have to tune in to God's voice and understand and know the plan and purpose for our lives. I read a book early on in my journey called Plans to Prosper You by George Sayre, and it changed my life. Talking about a book that the light bulb went on, it broke down that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a hope in the future and not to harm you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he broke it down and explained that to me, because I had never seen it done that way, it just made so much sense to me. But we have to tune in to God's voice and to listen to the plan and purpose he has, because, like you said, we could just be spinning our wheels and doing the wrong thing. And then, you know, if we're doing the wrong thing, then one day we're going to have to atone for that. And God's going to say to us, okay, well done, but that's not the plan that I have for your life.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't ever want to take that chance.
Nope, not at all.
I never want that to happen. And I feel like I kind of use my journey, and I take a look at it, and when I see things falling into place and he's allowing me to meet this person and that person and this opportunity happens and that opportunity happens, that to me is a sign to me, or confirmation, if you will, that God is showing me, okay, you're on track. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You know, that's the plan. That's part of the plan that I have for you. And that I'm not spinning my wheels. So I use that as my roadmap, and following the directions and the plan that God has for my life. So that's very powerful. So you know what? What we're going to do at this point in time, we're going to wind down. We're going to pause and take a short station break. And when we return, we will continue with this great conversation. Okay, so hang in there with me for a minute, all right? So I'm Allie, your host, and I'm joined by my special guest, Taisha Peak, author, speaker, and motivator. You're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned. We are back, and if you're just joining us, welcome, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And just one quick announcement, just as a reminder, tonight's broadcast has been pre-recorded, so we are unable to take your live calls, but if you want to make a comment about tonight's show, You can do so on the Atlanta Life Radio website, again at www.atlantaliferadio.com, or you can always reach out to me directly through email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com, and we certainly do look forward to hearing from you. So now we're going to continue with this great and powerful conversation that I've been having with my guest tonight, author Taisha Peak. And so I want, before the break, we were kind of talking about how you are living an intentional life. And so that then leads me to wanting to tell you, first of all, congratulations to you on your recently published book. And I want you to take a moment and please share with us about that. And we're going to just bless people with what you've written.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited because I have journals and journals and journals in my storage, in my house, everywhere. And one of the things that the counselor told me when I stepped into my not-so-nice place was she said, everything that you desire, Taisha, is around you. You just have to open your eyes.
Right.
And he was like, what is she talking about? So I started trying to open my circle and surround myself with like-minded people. So that either be inspirational, if I see inspirational posts in a person's Facebook or if they were entrepreneurs or anything, so that I can learn from other people. And also surround myself by new people, because we find ourselves being stuck in that place.
Right.
So
I reached
out to a woman, and she said, you know what, you should write a book. I was like, oh, please, just like somebody told me I should be a singer, even though I do my Jill Scott by myself. But that's nobody's business, though.
Right.
I was like, write a book? I was like, lady, I ain't got no money. I don't money. Books? That costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. She was like, I'm going to sow into you. And you need to write a book. And I said, okay. So I only had a certain amount of money, so I took half of that money and invested it into the book. Mm-hmm. And there it was, Through the Eyes of Destiny. Now, that wasn't going to be my title, but I played around with the book cover because I had to find something that captured that. So
right.
Through the Eyes of Destiny, to me, on my book cover, there's a young girl looking at herself in the mirror as an adult. Because as children, we often... You know, when we're little, we do all these things, and we'll do a talent show for our aunties and uncles. They want us to dance, and they want us to do all these things, and then we want so badly to be an adult but don't realize what that entails.
Yeah.
And have no idea that it's not just, ooh, money and driving around in cars and being fancy. That's not what it is.
That's
so,
not it, right.
The Eyes of Destiny is really, it was very short and to the point. Because, of course, that's not going to be the only book. Hello, somebody. That was just
hello.
The first one.
You just, hey, receive that right now.
Just
deposit that right there.
All right, let's go ahead and put that in the bank. It's already there.
Right.
I said, Through the Eyes of Destiny, 5 questions, 5 points. Who am I? Because we have to know ourselves in order to do anything, and we have to be true to who we are. The second question was, where do we come from? How did I get here? Where am I from? What's my path? But knowing not to relinquish the path. Don't engulf yourself in thinking about, oh, this happened to me, because that's how I was. You know what? I was homeless, and you know what? That's just how everything's going to be. I keep going through these challenges. It's just nothing's going to change. Stop being negative. Feed yourself positivity, because what you tell yourself in your mind is what you're going to believe. If you keep saying, you know what? Stuff ain't never going to get right. You know, I'm just going to always be broke. I'm never going to be able to get a house. You keep saying those things, they're going to influence your thinking. And then the things that happen, just like if you ever notice when you're outside, and it's hot as it want to be outside, and we know it gets hot in Atlanta.
That's right. You know that's right.
70 degrees today. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But you're outside, and you're like, oh, it's so hot. Oh, it is so hot. Do you realize that it does not cool down? It gets hotter because you keep putting into your head that it's hot.
Yeah.
So you're going to keep sweating, and things are just going to keep happening. So my point of the book was just to be very transparent and very to the point that, yes, I went through that. Yes, this happened. And another section was, it happened, now what? Okay, you were homeless. Okay, you lost your job. Okay, that boyfriend wasn't the best selection, or that girlfriend was not the best selection. Okay, you dropped out of school, whatever, that's fine. It happened. Now what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Letting it go, just moving past the negativity and setting up a plan for yourself. What am I going to do to overcome this? So I just, that was my point, to reach out to people that are kind of confused, you know, how do I find myself and how do I, and I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, so I didn't want to portray that and bring in, I didn't bring many statistics and everything into it. I just, my experience of my own life and how I overcame different challenges and how you can do the same.
And it was, it's just your truth and your transparency.
Right, that's right.
Pretty much. And, you know, I'm very close to self-publishing my first book. So, you know, what my story is exactly that as well, and it, from a different perspective, of course. But it's my journey, my truth, and facing myself in the mirror. You know, that was the point when I really started to grow and realize my full potential and the purpose and the plan that and my destiny, if you will, that God had for my life, when I started facing myself in the mirror, you know. So who specifically are you trying to reach? Is there any specific, you know, target market, or is it just for anybody who's, you know, in that headspace, I guess?
My overall goal, and one, I would like to thank Desiree Lee. Desiree Lee is who helped me to self-publish my book. I wanted to thank her. But in reference to who I'm trying to reach, I really want to reach out to my youth because it all started there. But I'm more, I mean, if an adult reads it and gets something from it, I don't even have a target. I just want to reach different perspectives, different areas in life, and I want to touch each of those so that people can overcome it. But youth, I definitely have to reach to, and it may not be through that particular avenue, because some people you can read, I want to speak to them and reach out to them anyway. And just, it starts there. It starts by having that person to be able to talk to when things get tough. If you have these feelings and emotions just bottled up inside, they start to become a part of who you are. And those negative parts you don't want to do. So whoever that person is, whomever she is, I don't have a daughter of my own, and I just feel that I have daughters all over the world, and I want to embark upon all their lives, wherever they are, and that book can travel many places that I may not be able to, and that's the point.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, while you were talking about the book, it was Joyce Meyer who really brought it out and brought it to my attention about the power of your words and what you were saying about being negative in your own head and to, you know, towards yourself and your circumstances. And so when you continue to put that out in the atmosphere, like you said, you're going to stay there. So you have to really be committed to speaking positive affirmations into your life and into other people, you know. And I try to teach that to my children, you know. Don't say, you know, you're this or I'm not that. No. First of all, you're a child of God, you know. You're what He says you are. So let's believe what He knows about you and sees in you. And so every morning, you know, that's part of our daily routine where we are speaking those positive affirmations. I am smart, you know. I am successful. I am creative. Those kind of things, and they plant seeds inside of you. So it's important for us as parents to start teaching our children that at a young age. This way, as they grow, it becomes part of their normal routine, you know?
Right. Just like brushing your teeth.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what would you have to say if you had to kind of give us that one lesson or that one message, if it's possible for you to do that? What is it that you want your readers to walk away after reading your book? What is it that you really hope to accomplish with that?
I would have to combine one, but if
that's
my main dreams don't end in adulthood would be my first, because as kids, we want to be doctors, and I think I want to be a neurosurgeon at one time. I thought I was going to be Oprah, all of these other things. It doesn't have to end because we're adults. We are more capable of doing things that we couldn't do as a child. So don't allow that to stop. Whatever dreams that you have within you, if they are positive and not of a negative input, then know that God put those things within you so that you can put those things out to other people. Every experience that you've gone through is to lead you to teach somebody else that may not have that person in their life to get you where you may be going. So I want to be that person. And I want them to feel as though they can be that person to the next person. And it just keeps on going, like paying it forward. And my second would be, where you were is not where you have to remain, and where you are isn't where you have to remain. So whatever's going on right now, whatever that is, whether it be positive or negative, that's not it. Dream big and pray big. Don't just pray for small things, and just don't pray for material things either.
Right.
Pray for him to lead you to the opportunities that are going to lead to whatever they are and what he has destined for you. That's what my concern is, what he wants me to do. Not necessarily what I want to do, because what I want to do may not be what he has in store, and he showed me that several times. So just focusing on what your purpose is and really seeking that purpose and asking him to show you what it is that you're supposed to be doing.
That's good. That's really good. So tell us, how can we support you and purchase a copy of the book?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's actually right now, it releases on my birthday, which is October the 8th. So I made it especially because I have started a lot of things in my life and did not finish a lot of things.
Mm.
And this is something that I finished, so I just cried. I was like, I did it. I did it. So now, oh, she's unstoppable. God has opened so many doors after I finished that. He's like, oh, okay. So see now you know what you're working with, Taisha. Now I'm going to tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he just keeps doing that. So my book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So on Amazon.com, you can actually put my name, which is Taisha Peak, T-Y-E-S-H-A, Peak, P-E-A-K, and I'm the only Taisha Peak in the world, evidently, so it will pull up the Kindle version. You can get it for ebook, and you can get a paperback, and then it's also on Barnes & Noble. The short link to it on Amazon is actually bit.ly/ Through the Eyes of Destiny. And also you can get it bit.ly/TTEOD Taisha. Or you can just do simple and put Taisha P and it'll come up.
There you go. There you go. That is so awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I think because when you and I first connected, you hadn't finished it yet, but you, you know, you had shared it with me, and then all of a sudden I saw this cover, and I was like, what?
Absolutely.
So I'm so proud of you for that, and I definitely can relate to the feeling of euphoria of completing something because, you know, I can probably just throw myself across the finish line with my book. You know, if anybody watched the Olympics, they saw that young lady from Jamaica throw herself across the finish line, you know, beat my girl, Allison Felix. You know, I'm hating on that right now. But anyway, that's how close I am to the finish line.
All right.
And, you know, so I said when I finally get my printed copy, I'm just going to drop to my knees, thank God, and I'm going to cry. I know I am.
I sure did. Glasses fogged and all.
I know I'm going to cry because it's just something that, first of all, I want to do because God gave it to me to do. It's something that he instilled in me and told me that, you know, I needed to do for others. But because I'm also showing my kids that, you know, even though life threw lemons at me, you know, by laying me off, I made some lemonade. And I wanted to show them that, you know, mommy is not a quitter,
that's
you
right.
know, and I'm not going to roll over and play dead just because life threw some lemons at me and, you know, things got a little sour. I want to show them, you know, I'll be an example, you know, to them that this is what you can do when life may throw you a curveball, you know.
Definitely.
So, yeah, that it's, oh, my goodness, I'm just so waiting for that day. Whew, thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know what?
I
want to share with our listeners that not only is Miss Taisha doing it big with the book, how about this, you guys? She has recently been cast in a stage play. Yes, you heard me right. Okay, so can you just tell us about that and what made you to even want to audition for a stage play?
Right. Okay, so the last time that I've ever participated in anything that has to do with acting was theater in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how I came across it. I was friends with somebody else, and I saw Father, it's called Father, The Untold Story. And I was like, I said, no, I just clicked on it. And it was like casting call, and it was a Friday that I seen it, so the casting call was the next day. It was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, isn't Stone Mountain, I got a little bit of gas. I might can make it. I don't know. And I was like, I'm going to try out for a play. You know I don't play that, honey. I'm the behind the scenes kind of chick. But going in front of somebody, so I said, you know what? I reached out to Mr. Dan Moore, which he is awesome, awesome, Mr. Moore, and he was like, go for it, Taisha. And I was like, right. And I told my mother, and she was like, well, do it. And I was like, okay, okay. I'm not going out there. I'm not going, and I'm fighting myself. I said, you know, I'm just going to go. So I went, and I tried out, and just to it's by Lee Sadie Productions, and the director is Miss Yolanda Snipes, and she is so awesome. And she said that God presented her with a vision, and she ran with the vision. So it's about, briefly, the lives of women and men that do not have fathers in their lives, or they were not a positive influence in their lives, and how that can affect the woman and man in life. And I know that it affected me in a way, so I'm here to help her to portray that vision so that it can help heal somebody else, because there's some healing that needs to happen in different areas and different aspects, and a fatherless child is one of them. So I'm all for that. So it will actually cast in March. It'll start in Atlanta, but it's actually planning to tour over different cities.
Wow.
So I think Chicago was one. I believe I saw Miami and some other ones. So it's still in the works of where.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it'll be next year. And I'm excited about that. And I wouldn't say I'm shy. I'm selectively energetic, I guess we'll call it.
Oh, that's funny. I've never heard it put like that.
Because I'm
selectively energetic.
I'm a stranger. Anyway, I was like, hey, how you doing? They'll look at me like, fine. All right, well, you have a good day. Moving, but when I went into the room, they had the cameras, and it was like it was the director and the writer sitting right in front of me, like, okay, go ahead. And I was like, oh, I'm doing it right here. Oh, so we're not going to be on the stage where the lights are out and I can't see you. Oh, okay.
Right.
So I just did it, and I actually memorized the script that they gave me, and she was like, okay, well, do your thing, Missy. And I did it, and then I actually ended up finding out from someone else because my phone had gotten a high C spill on it. It drowned in high C, so it wasn't working. And Mr. Dan Moore was like, Taisha, congratulations on your part in the play. And I was like, hold on, nobody called me. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Lord, you allow her to write a book, and now you want to showcase me on the stage? That's what I'm talking about. I'm like,
wow.
And I'm asking for all I do every morning. As I say, God just guided me to where, for one, take any negativity out of my mind and out of my heart. And, Lord, just allow me to, any opportunities that you feel is what I'm supposed to be a part of and I'm supposed to do, just bring me to it. And
Absolutely. Each
week, there has not been a week that has gone by that something hasn't came up and something new or something. It's just amazing. Amazing. I used to say crazy. I said, no, the Lord ain't crazy.
Mm-mm.
You're crazy.
No, but you know what it says in the Word. He'll pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. So here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's pouring it out. And you know what? When you shared with me that you had gotten a part in the play, I started looking through. And a gentleman that was a former guest on the show who we met back when we first started is actually in the play as well, Mr. Troy Bland.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. No, I'm not going to tell y'all who he's going to be. But, yeah, he is awesome. He is so funny. And Ms. Leslie and Donna Robertson there, I mean, the cast is just, when we met, we actually had a meeting this previous Monday, and the cast is so awesome. Like, it was some spiritual blessings going on in that room. I mean, we were crying, we were sharing. And it's just when someone listens to the calling of what God wants them to do and they actually do it, and then he calls upon you to be a part of it, that's it.
Yes.
I don't care what it takes.
Yes. Oh, man, I'm excited. So you definitely have to keep us posted, you know, when it's going to, you know, when tickets go on sale or what have you. I'll be more than happy to, you know, share once again on the show, and then if I could post it on my blog website, you know, under events or something. So please keep in touch, and I know we will, but, you know, let me know about that, and I'll be more than happy to support you in that way, okay? I'm excited about it because it sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah, and I'm ready. We got some healing to do, and it's just going to be in different areas, so I'm ready, and I thank you so much.
Yes. Let me ask you this before we get ready to close a powerful episode. Do you feel as though what you're doing now with your book and now, you know, with the stage play and inspiring other people, do you feel like you're walking and fulfilling your life purpose? And if so, why?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because he's allowing me to have a voice that at one point I felt that I would never have.
Mm.
So he's just, okay, I'm going to start crying. There you go.
Catch it.
He's allowing me to see what I've never seen, and I believe it. So I cry when I talk to anybody on the phone and they provide me with any opportunity. I'm just like, at a point, I didn't even want to live. At a point, I was this homeless girl living with my friends and not knowing and not caring about anything, and now I care about everything. And I care about that same girl, and I care about my daughter and my sister and my aunt and my grandmother and whoever these women are that will come into my life. I feel like I'm in my purpose, and it's just going to be different elements of it. And, of course, the play, touching those who are fatherless children and how that may feel. Even though my father was in my life, there were some instances when he wasn't, and now I don't have him anymore. So to be able to be in a play that allows me to have a father in the moment and to reflect back on hurtful experiences that I did experience with my father, that's my purpose, to show you that you can overcome that. You can overcome being homeless. You can overcome being abused. You can overcome being on drugs. You can overcome being an alcoholic. You can overcome being a sex addict or any addict or anything that you have been through in your life. You can overcome it. So God has given me the voice that I've always had, and now I'm not afraid to be transparent, and I'm not afraid to open up myself to other people to let them know it's going to be all right. So, absolutely.
Awesome. That's awesome. And your Facebook page, again, so people can follow you on Facebook, is Living Intentionally Taisha, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So, guys, go out there and follow her on Facebook. And I want to say thank you so much, first, you know, for your truth, facing truth and transparency, and for following and not giving up and following the plan and purpose that God has for your life. And congratulations once again on your newly or soon-to-be fully published book, Through the Eyes of Destiny. Thank you for your commitment to motivating people towards fulfilling their life's purpose and their destiny. And thank you for living an intentional life. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Allie. And I'm just excited. And if you need to reach me in any way, or you just need somebody to talk to, you can hit me up on Facebook, and my all that information, my website and everything is there. And I'll love to speak to you and help you in any way that I can.
Thank you so much. So now, as I am accustomed to doing, I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. I equate living an intentional life to living a life of purpose and loving God. So guess what? That one question then comes to mind, how do we do that? And at the top of that list is first to love God above all else. And so that led me to the book of Deuteronomy, which is a book about our never-ending need for God and his presence in our everyday life. And so that led me to chapter 6, verse 5, where Moses tells us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And so you can actually, this scripture is so important because you can find this again reiterated in the New Testament by Jesus himself in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And this scripture speaks to us being the core foundation of human existence, which is to love God above all things and love, put God first in our lives. And so when we base our life on this foundational scripture, you know, you can live your life to the fullest. God created us to be in fellowship with him. And so when we're not, our lives are out of sync with reality. And so, you know, after loving God above all else, and if we move forward, there's some other ways that, you know, we can start living an intentional life by loving others as you love yourself, studying God's word, praying and seeking him every day, protecting, you know, living with integrity, and just being an example to others. So being a doer and not just a hearer of the word, and then strive to, you know, live a life based on the fruits of the Spirit and not a sinful life. So that should be everybody's desire, to live actively and intentionally for Jesus. So with that said, I want to remind all of you, remember to tune in next week for the continuation of the Entrepreneur Her Spotlight series with my special guest co-host, Sean Thomas, as we shine the conversational spotlight on Carmen Caldwell, the founder of Life Fulfilled Coaching and Consulting. It is going to be another great show and one that you won't want to miss. So But if you do miss the live show, you can always catch up on what you missed, because we do have all of our past recorded shows on the automatic player box located on the homepage at AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And then we're also on iTunes, and we're also on the mobile app Stitcher. So all you have to do is search for Atlanta Life Radio on both of those apps. And so those are some convenient ways that you can tune in and not miss out on all the great programming that Atlanta Life Radio offers. And so in addition to that, you can also continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can reach me at email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to connect and follow us on all social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at hashtag AllieWard45 and on Pinterest at AllieWard65. And I'm on Facebook at There Is Life After Layoff, and Atlanta Life Radio is on Facebook at Atlanta Life Radio Station WALR. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff Radio team, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. Until next time, on behalf of the entire There Is Life After Layoff Radio team, we say thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life, and know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.